Welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. The Wellness Enclave will explore emotional health and its impact on everyday life. In the Enclave, we will address how emotional health is connected to other parts of your life, such as physical health, relationships, spirituality, and even decision making. Our goal in the Wellness Enclave is to help you become a healthier, happier you through motivation, education, and innovation. And now, the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell, where emotional health and wellness is our top priority. Today, we will be discussing depression. And again, today, the topic is depression. We'll be discussing various types and various forms of depression, as well as symptoms, causes, and possible treatments. So again, good morning to you, and thank you for joining Dr. Sewell in the Enclave, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
I fell asleep amid the flowers on a couple of hours for a couple of hours on a beautiful day.
It's a spy from behind my giant robot's eyes. I keep him happy because the mic fall out if he cries. Scared of heights, so I might pass out if he flies. Keep them all autopilot, cause I can't drive. Room enough for one, I tell my homies they can't ride. Unless we're sitting on the shoulders, but that's way too high. Let's try not to step on the children. The news cameras filming this walking project building. Now that's selling like right around the toes, and the crackheads beg at about the lower leg. There's crooked police that's stationed at the knees, and they do drive-bys like up and down the thighs. And there's a car chase going on at the waist. Keep a vest on my chest. I'm sitting in my room as I'm looking out the face. Something to write about. I still got some damage from fighting the White House. Just a
daydream.
I fell asleep amid the flowers on a couple of hours on a beautiful day.
Such a beautiful day.
Now come on, everybody, let's make cool. We need a few more half-naked women up in the pool and hold this. It's all covered in jewels. And can you please put your closer to the 22s? And where's the champagne? We need champagne. Now look as hard as you can with this in your hand. And now hold up your chain. Slow motion through the flames. Now cue the smoke machines and the simulated rain. But not too loud, cause the baby's sleeping. I wonder if it knows what the world is keeping. Up both sleeves while he lay there dreaming. Me and my robot tiptoe round creeping. I had to turn my back on what got you paid. I couldn't see, had the hood on me like Abu Ghraib. But I like to thank the streets that drove me crazy. And all the televisions out there that breaks me. I was
daydream.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell, and today we are talking about the topic of depression. So, according to the National Institute of Health, depression is a common but serious mood disorder. It causes severe symptoms that will affect a person's behavior, as well as how you think and how you feel. Depression is a persistent state of sadness and loss of interest in life. In 2014, according to SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration, there was an estimated 15.7 million adults in the United States who reported at least one major depressive episode. So basically what we're looking at is 6.7% of all United States adults between what we're looking at is 6.7% of all United States adults ages 18 and older. From 2014, SAMHSA also recorded that an estimated 2.8 million adolescents reported at least having one major depressive disorder in the previous 12 months. This is approximately 11.4% of all United States adolescents ages 12 to 17. So one of the things I want to look at initially would be the causes of depression. So one of the things people always talk about are genetics. I always hear people say, well, you know what? My mom has depression. My dad has depression. My grandmother suffered from it. So that means I'm going to suffer from it. That is not necessarily true, but let me be clear. It does place you at increased risk for possibly dealing with depressive episodes or being diagnosed with some form of depression. What I don't want you to do, though, is analyze every single thing that happens to you, because that's what happens to a lot of us when there are certain illnesses that run in our family. Any little thing, we say, okay, oh my God, I must have depression, or, you know, I must have this medical illness, or so on and so forth. So what I don't want you to do is run yourself into the ground analyzing every little thing. I'm going to talk about the symptoms later in the show, and from that perspective, once you look at the symptoms, how long you may have had some symptoms, then I'll talk about maybe that's the time when you maybe need to go seek some help. So one of the causes, of course, is history, because that means there's a predisposition to that or an increased risk. Another common cause of depression is abuse. That could be physical, sexual, or emotional, Of course, if you're working or if you're living under the cloud of abuse and you feel like you don't have anyone to speak to, if you're being abused and you feel like your self-esteem has diminished, which happens in many cases of individuals who've been abused. So your self-esteem has been diminished. You feel ashamed, which you should not, because you're not the person who's inflicting this abuse upon yourself. You're not doing that. It's someone else that's doing it. So please do not feel ashamed of what is going on. Find a way to reach out for help, actually. But if you're living under these circumstances, then that is bound to cause a level of deep depression, because again, you feel like sometimes there's no way out. Sometimes people have convinced you that there's no way out, or that you are a certain type of person, and 99.9% of the time it is not true. Life events can also cause depression. So when I say life events, I'm talking about divorce. And even though you may be happy to get rid of your significant other, still that's going to be a major change in your life. So at the end of the day, you will go through some phases of grief or depression. Bankruptcy, which is loss of finances. When we start looking at loss of finances, a lot of times we're also looking at a loss of material things. Unfortunately, many of us base our or identify ourselves or base our identities up on what we have and not on who we are. We basically define ourselves by what we have and not who we are. And so when you begin to lose those things, you have to file bankruptcy, there can be a sense of depression and a deep sense of loss. In addition to that, sometimes if we were the breadwinner in the family, it can make us feel like a failure, when it may be a situation where, again, a medical illness may have taken place and you can no longer afford to take care of the family. It could be a situation, just some type of life-changing event, like you've lost your job. It had nothing to do with you. The company folded. It could be any number of things. But again, and I always say, we can't help the way that we feel. So bankruptcy or loss of finances can cause us to feel depressed for a number of reasons. Loss of job, loss of a loved one. That is another situation that can cause a lot of people to deal with or suffer from depression. In this particular instance, a lot of times we're dealing with situational depression, which is normal, which is what I'll talk about later on in the show. Chronic medical illnesses can cause a person to have depression. I've spoken about that in another show. A lot of people don't look at a medical illness, they look at that as totally separate. Keep in mind what I always talk about, your emotional health and wellness, all of it is connected. The spiritual self, the physical self / medical self, and the emotional health or mental health, all of those things are connected. If I am suffering with an illness that keeps me in pain, say for instance, some type of neuropathy or fibromyalgia, I may have a terminal illness, I may be in stage 4 cancer, all of those things can cause me, and even if not stage 4, I may be in stage 2 or 3 and things may be looking better, but if I am in constant pain, if I can no longer take care of myself, and I've been a very independent person, and now I have to rely on others to take care of me physically, even if not financially, physically, that is a lot of wear and tear. If I have difficulty breathing, one of my first jobs was working with the HIV population. Everyone on my caseload at that particular time, they were full-blown AIDS as defined by the CDC, and I'm talking about the early 90s. I actually had clients who could not breathe without being in excruciating pain. Those are things that you really have to take into consideration. When a person is dealing with a chronic medical illness, you may look at it and say, hey, you're still living, or, you know, you're still living. You know, you can take meds for this. You'll be okay. Not so much, because remember, we're dealing with a life-changing event. And anytime you're dealing with a life-changing event, that can cause some level of depression because you're dealing with the unknown. Medication. There are some medications that actually can cause depression. So one of the things that I always suggest people do is, if they have never dealt with depression or they don't think they've ever dealt with depression, one of the things I say is, hey, go back to, when did you first start feeling like this? It could be 2 months ago, it could be 2 years ago, but when did you first start feeling like this? And if there was no medical issues, no major life-changing events that have happened, you don't know of any type of history in your family, then maybe look and see if you were taking, if you started taking a certain medication at that time. And when I'm talking about it, it can be any medication. It does not have to be a medication like an antidepressant or an antipsychotic. It doesn't have to be anything for mental health or what they call psychotropic medications. It can actually just be, it can be a medication that you may be taking for high blood pressure or something like that. Always look at the side effects of it. Always look at the side effects. And also substance abuse. A lot of people think that people drink and use drugs to deal with their problems. That goes both ways. Sometimes the alcohol and the drugs can actually cause the depression, particularly if you're doing a lot of it and you're moving from dependency to abuse. You're kind of crossing that line, because what you're doing is you're neglecting a lot of things in your life, relationships, money, jobs, all those types of things, coming in late for your job, because when you get 25, you cannot recover from alcohol like you used to. At over 25, you can't do the same as when you were 21. So you're not being productive until 12 noon on your job, so your supervisor is noticing it. Or you're spending your money on alcohol and drugs when you should be spending it on bills. It's causing problems in the household. You may not be spending enough time with your kids. So if I am becoming more and more dependent on drugs and alcohol, in essence, and I'm losing all these things are coming along with it, and I'm losing all these things, that can cause me to fall into a bout of depression or an episode of depression. So hopefully you've learned something the first half of this show. When we come back, we'll talk about symptoms and we'll talk about the different types of depression, as well as how to treat them, or suggestions or recommendations in terms of how to treat them. And again, you're listening to Dr. Donna Sewell and the Wellness Enclave, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
Hi there, healthy people. Do you have a healthy product or service? If you are a certified medical professional, fitness trainer, author, or chef, Old Fashioned Health would love to promote your services or product on the Old Fashioned Health Radio Show. Please reach out to us. Call 404-793-3960 or email us at oldfashionedhealth@gmail.com. You can also contact us at oldfashionedhealth.com. Old Fashioned Health, good health inside and out.
Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! Oh. It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's the Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
Yeah, no one around to care.
everyone, and welcome back to The Enclave with Dr. Donna Sewell. And today we are talking about the topic of depression. So I want to get into the symptoms as well as some treatments, some types of depression, and as well as the treatments before we get out of here today. So here are some symptoms of depression. And when I talk about these symptoms, remember, they can be a single symptom can be symptomatic of almost in any type of mental health diagnosis. So what we want to look at is if we have a number of these symptoms and they have been persistent or constant. So, and I'll talk about that very briefly. So some of the symptoms of depression are fatigue and lack of energy, frustration, agitation, and or irritability, persistent feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, worthlessness and emptiness, difficulty sleeping. That could be sleeping too much or sleeping too little. A loss of interest in activities or hobbies, social isolation or social withdrawal, difficulty concentrating or remembering. A lot of people don't realize that this may be a symptom of depression. Some people just feel like, hey, you know, I'm getting older or I'm tired, those types of things. But actually, when you have difficulty concentrating, and if it's paired with some other symptoms, that can be symptomatic of depression, because usually your focus is elsewhere. You're thinking about whatever that major issue is or that major problem is, and it is causing you problems with focus. So appetite changes or weight changes. So that could mean eating more or eating less. And remember, we talked about how some people are emotional eaters, especially food is kind of like, eating is like a comfort for them. Recurrent thoughts of death or suicide. So that means thinking about death on a regular basis or suicide on a regular basis. And physical symptoms such as headaches, stomach aches, or back pain. Also problems with your digestive system as well, particularly if you're a person who suffers with acid reflux or GERD. When you become upset or stressed out, a lot of times that impacts your digestive system. So there are several types of depression. I know everybody always talks about bipolar. Bipolar disorder is more of a mood disorder, and depression is involved in certain types of bipolar disorder, of course. So because that is such a common disorder, I'm not really going to lump that in with depression. We're going to talk about bipolar disorder on a separate show. That's going to have its own show. So if you don't hear me say that, that is the reason why, because bipolar disorder is more of a mood disorder as opposed to falling up under the guise of depression. So the most common types of depression, situational depression, that generally occurs with a life-changing event. And it could be, and a life-changing event is actually the trigger or the catalyst of that particular depression. So situational depression is temporary. Situational depression is when you may or you may not need to go and speak with someone. You may or may not need medication. And if you need medication, it'll only be for a short period of time. So we could be looking at death, loss of job, those types of things. Now, here's where we start really getting into length of time and symptoms. So when we talk about things like persistent depressive disorder, and you know, I talked about postpartum on another show and major depressive disorder. What we're looking at out of those symptoms that I named, you need to have approximately for most of these diagnoses that I'm about to call out, you need to have approximately 5 of those symptoms, and they need to be persistent. For some of these diagnoses, they need to be persistent for over 2 weeks, or consistent and constant for over 2 weeks. Another one, this one that I'm about to talk about, persistent depressive disorder, you need to have these symptoms for at least two years. And that's why they call it persistent depressive disorder. It used to be called dysthymia. So this lasts for 2 years. These are individuals who have a persistent low mood. These are the people who, in my field, what we say, they have a constant flat affect, like nothing makes them happy. They're not necessarily talking about suicide or anything like that, and they really strive to be happy. They may not have anything that they can pinpoint that's going on in their lives or that has gone on in their life, but they just cannot bring themselves to have happy moments or just have an increase in energy. Their mood is just very low. A person with this disorder can also have episodes or bouts of major depression. We talked about postpartum. Those are symptoms, and I talked some of the symptoms that I just named. They need to last 2 weeks. I'm sorry, more than 2 weeks. So remember, when we talk about postpartum depression, these symptoms begin to occur either during pregnancy or right after giving birth, when we talk about postpartum. So again, for that particular diagnosis, the symptoms need to last last over 2 weeks. Then we have seasonal affective disorder, which is what we're coming into now for a lot of people. This happens in many instances around fall or the winter time. Some people say because it's a lack of vitamin D, you know, with the sunlight and everything like that. So, and it could be for various reasons. However, this is characterized by the onset of fall or winter months, and you start having some of the symptomatology that I just talked about. It's typically accompanied with social withdrawal, increased sleep, and weight gain. So one of the therapies that is used for this particular type of depression or type of disorder is something that they call light therapy. So you can go online and find out what lamps or what lighting has pretty good ratings for you to, and where you can go and purchase these items. I think they may have some items like this at possibly Home Depot. I know they have some at Costco, but they didn't get good ratings, so I'm not going to send you over there. But there is a particular type of light. You can just go in and look up light therapy. There's different types of lamps that they have. So some people will say and they're different types of bulbs as well. So for some people, they may use these bulbs on a daily basis, like for a few hours a day. There are other people who have these lamps and they'll just say, hey, when you get up in the morning, just do an hour in the morning and it should help you. It just varies from person to person. But typically what is utilized for this is one of the things utilized to help combat seasonal affective disorder is light therapy. And then we have major depressive disorder. That's the most common type. And again, you have to have at least 5 of those symptoms that I discussed earlier for at least 2 weeks. They need to be present for at least 2 weeks. So let's talk about the different treatments that we have for depression. Of course, we know medication. Of course, we know medication is one of them. I am more of an advocate of seeking out some type of counseling and or therapy first, and then if it's determined that you need medication, then that's fine. You know, take the medication. Please understand the medication will not start to take effect for at least 3 weeks. I do not take the medication for 2 days and say it's not helping you. It has to get into your system. I think it's best to have medication and therapy, and simply because that will allow you to identify what's going on. If there is something going on, then you can deal with that issue, possibly learn some coping skills. And basically those two things, the medication and therapy, will complement one another. The other type of therapy that is actually becoming, is resurfacing as being becoming more and more popular, is something that they used years ago, decades ago, and it's starting to resurface. And it's called electroconvulsive therapy. And that's basically shock therapy. A lot of people who suffer with major depressive disorder, and they've been dealing with it for years, and or the persistent depressive disorder that I talked about, the persistent depressive mood, they have elected to get shock therapy. And this is basically when you treat mental illness by sending currents through the brain to basically trigger a seizure. So again, there are a lot of people who have been, they said it helps them. I'm not advocating it. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm simply saying that this is an option. Okay, I'm simply saying that this is an option. When we go talk about the therapies and the counseling, there are different types of therapies. We have cognitive behavioral therapy, which can be very beneficial. That's basically redirecting your thought process. is basically that is pretty much what cognitive behavioral therapy is. It is understanding why you think the way you do, and then how can I think differently about a certain situation or certain issues. If I can think differently about them or reframe them in my mind or have a different perception, then that may ease the low mood that I'm suffering with or that I'm dealing with. There's also talk therapy. You've heard me discuss that before, and that's basically when you go in and you talk to a therapist and you just talk about what's going on. And from there, again, some people just need to talk about certain issues, and for some people, they just need about 4 or 5 sessions. Other people, they might need to go more often than that, and that's fine. Sometimes you're looking for coping skills. Other times it's just to get things off of your chest because you may feel as though you are being suffocated. You may feel stagnant. You may not want to express those things to people who are close to you because in their minds they're saying, how can you possibly complain? You're fortunate. You're blessed. You know that you're fortunate to have certain things. But again, just because you know that you're fortunate, that does not help the way you feel. And it is a reason that you are feeling stagnant. There is a reason that you are feeling suffocated. And maybe that's just something that you need to work out. And it's okay to go and express it to someone outside of family or friends so that somebody's feelings don't get hurt or so that you don't feel misunderstood or judged. And then there's another type of therapy called psychoanalysis. And that's pretty much when they go into childhood and a number of other things to determine possibly what has been going on with you. So I am getting a 2-minute warning. So before I, from my lovely, lovely engineer, Mr. Greg. And so before I go off of air, I do want to let you know that for the next 2 weeks on October 24th and October 31st, I will be introducing a new show. It's just a pilot show. It's called Meditative Messages and Critical Conversations. And basically, it's to discuss more about issues that are in the news, controversial issues that are in art and things of that nature. Just to get an idea and just talk about those things and determine and look at how they're impacting our emotional health. So I will not be towing a line on either side, whether it's conservative, liberal, or whatever, but I will be asking some questions that may be relatively controversial just because it's a number of things that we want to know. And what I want to do is bring those things to the forefront because it's things we talk about in our homes, but we're afraid to talk about in public. So I will be introducing that show. I will only run it for 2 weeks on the 24th and the 31st, and then I will return to the Wellness Enclave on November 7th. But I would love to get your feedback from those shows to see if it's something that I can move forward with, to see if you guys enjoyed, and if you have any suggestions, I'm more than open to that. I can always be contacted at www.meenterprises.net, or you can just go on the Google search engine and put in Mind's Eye Enterprises and you will see the Wellness Enclave. You'll see a contact form for me if you want to contact me about coming out to speak, and you will see this new show, Meditative Messages and Critical Conversations. And I would like to thank you. I hope you guys have a great morning and you have a happy and healthy week.
This has been the Wellness Enclave with Dr. Sewell. Join us each Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. on WWWE The Real 1100 AM. We look forward to growing with you.
Thank you for listening to another Old Fashioned Health Network show on The Real 1100.